Today's Old Testament reading comes from Genesis 1, 1 through 5. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle comes from Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 11. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The good news according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
John appeared baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, "After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." This is the gospel of the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and redeemer. Amen. 2 weeks ago, we celebrated Christmas. Today, we celebrate the first Sunday after the Epiphany. Epiphany itself was yesterday, January 6th, when we commemorate the coming of the wise men from the east bearing gifts for the Christ child. The Christmas tree with its Christmas have been replaced by a Lamb of God, and the victorious Lamb of God. We remember how in the Gospel according to St. John, when John the Baptist sees Jesus, remember what it is he says about him? Behold the Lamb of God. And then in the book of Revelation, we have this vision of the victorious Lamb of God who came through suffering and dying to rise again and ascend to be with the Father and the Spirit in heaven and to prepare a place for all who would come to live with Him in eternity. 2 weeks ago, we celebrated the birth of Jesus as a helpless baby in Bethlehem's manger. And today in our gospel reading, we see Him as a full-grown man being baptized in the Jordan River. The fact that we have gone in 2 weeks from celebrating the birth of Jesus to his baptism in the Jordan River as a grown man tells us right off the bat that the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are not interested in giving us a biography of the life of Jesus. If that had been their intention, they did a terrible job. But their purpose was to give us the gospel, the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ. That's what they're about. So this morning we want to think about how is the baptism of Jesus at the hands of John the Baptist in the Jordan River, how is that good news? How is that gospel? We may wonder, why was Jesus baptized? What was He doing in that water? What was going on? Or, to put it in terms of a good Lutheran question, what does this mean? Well, Mark chapter 1, verse 4, tells us that John the Baptist was preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And we know that surely Jesus did not need to be baptized for the forgiveness of His sins because He didn't have any. There is a mystery here that we cannot begin to fully comprehend or understand how Jesus could be at the same time true God and true man, but He was. And as the sinless Son of God, He committed no sin. He was like us, fully human, in every way, yet was without sin. So when He underwent that baptism in the Jordan River, Jesus did not need to repent for His sins, but I believe that when He was in that water, He was repenting for our sins. Right? Because if you think about it this way, Jesus came to be our substitute. He came to do what we are totally unable to do, and that is to live an entirely God-pleasing life. To obey God's commands perfectly and completely. That is beyond us, so far beyond us. So Jesus put Himself in our place, even at His baptism, and was repenting for our sins. You know, it struck me in preparation for this morning that even when we are telling God we are sorry for our sins, sometimes, even while we are repenting, that old Adam and that old Eve within us is still clinging on to what we are repenting for. We're not quite ready to let go of it. So even in our repenting, we are imperfect. And sometimes we just don't get it exactly right. I have a neighbor that's very hard for me to get along with. And there are some things I need to repent about, but it's so hard for me to do that. And Judy says, I'm being too hard on my neighbor. I probably am. And that's something else that I need to work at repenting of. Yeah. So, very closely connected with this purpose for Jesus being baptized in the Jordan River is the fact that his baptism marks the beginning of his public ministry. The Spirit descends in the form of a dove. There is a voice from heaven in the person of God the Father that declares, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." It's a combination of a couple of verses from the Old Testament that mean Jesus is going to exercise his kingship as a servant. And remember how Jesus himself said, I came not to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. And so immediately after Jesus comes out of the Jordan River, he is almost like thrown by the Spirit into the desert where he confronts Satan and engages in spiritual warfare. And then immediately after that, he comes back to Galilee and begins to call disciples to be his followers. And immediately after that, he casts out an evil spirit, and right away after that, he's healing people of their diseases and infirmities and afflictions. And in the Gospel of Mark, it's just one thing after another that tumbles out of Jesus carrying out his ministry and being our servant, our Savior, our shepherd. And though circumstances in life may change, this one thing shall never change. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Whatever our needs, he has it taken care of. So we could think then of the baptism of Jesus as being his inauguration into his earthly public ministry. So then, in summary, the baptism of Jesus means that he is identifying with us in our humanity. He is taking our place to do what we are unable to do. He is repenting for our sins, which he will carry all the way to the cross and rise again. And it is his inauguration into his earthly public ministry. And then it is logical for us to ask if there is a connection between our baptisms and the baptism of Jesus. Well, right away, I think there's a disconnect between our Lord's baptism and our baptisms. He wasn't baptized because he needed the forgiveness of sins. But we do. We are sinners. We have this condition that we inherited from our first human parents that we refer to as original sin. The sin that is the origin from which all other actual sins of commission or omission emerge. We can't handle this condition that we have inherited on our own. We need to be put into a saving relationship with God. We can't do that by ourselves. God does that for us, to us, and in us. And that's what baptism is all about. And in the language of the Lutheran confessions, baptism is a means of grace. It is a tool that God uses to put us into a faith relationship with himself. In our reading from Romans today, Romans chapter 6, which is one of the great, great chapters of the Bible, it's a chapter that you have to read every phrase slowly, almost every word slowly, because there's so much there and it's so powerful. I want to read these verses again in particular. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. Although baptism is a beautiful ceremony, and I would say that every pastor looks forward to baptisms, even though it's a beautiful ceremony, there is so much more going on there than it just being a beautiful ceremony. It's a matter of death and life. Baptism, the Apostle Paul tells us, merges us into the death of Jesus Christ so that our sins are taken with him and are buried, and then we rise with Christ to the new life. There is a, well, every baptism is special. Every baptism is testimony to the power of God to save. There's one baptism I was thinking about in particular this past week in preparation for this morning that I was privileged to do. It was of little Camille Walls on Memorial Day 2006. She was born way, way too early at St. Vincent's Hospital. Her dad called me, "Can you come to the hospital and baptize Camille? I'll get there as soon as I can." And so I get all garbed, and I go in to the NICU and into this little room, and there's the dad, and there's the nurse with some sterile water, and Michael, the dad, is holding Camille easily in the crook of his arm. There was room to spare. All 2 pounds and 6 ounces of her. I'd never seen a baby that small. And so I took what amounted to 3 little drops of the sterile water and baptized Camille Walls in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And it just hit me what a powerful thing baptism is. I knew that Camille's life was hanging in the balance. But more than that, the baptism itself was a merging of Camille into the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that God had taken her to himself as his child. And in your baptism and in my baptism, that's what happens. Martin Luther tells us that every time we repent, it's like going through the waters of baptism once again. The old Adam and the old Eve within us are daily drowned through repentance, so that the new person in Christ can arise and daily come forth. Even as our physical birth joined us to our original parents, so baptism joins us, merges us into Jesus the Christ, crucified and risen. You know that old Adam and Eve, though, are tough. We'll never get rid of them completely until we draw our last breath. Until then, we have to fight against them. with all our might, because we want to become more like Jesus. Eugene Peterson is a name you may have heard of before. He wrote a paraphrase of the Bible called The Message. I'm going to read the final verses of his little section here on our text from Romans today. You are dead to sin and alive to God. That's what Jesus did. That means you must not give sin a vote in the way you conduct your lives. Don't give it the time of day. Don't even run little errands that are connected with that old way of life. Throw yourselves wholeheartedly and full time. Remember, you've been raised from the dead. Throw yourself wholeheartedly and full time into God's way of doing things. Sin can't tell you how to live. After all, you're not living under that old tyranny any longer. You're living in the freedom of God. You know, our baptism is not only a means of grace, of where God puts this relationship with himself in us. It's also our call to serve him. It's our consecration into the ministry that he has for us. Just like the baptism that Jesus underwent was his commissioning, his inauguration, his consecration into his ministry, our baptisms mean the same thing for us. God calls us into ministry, and I'm using the word ministry in the broad and wide sense. That whatever our talents, whatever our gifts, whatever our abilities, we offer them to the Lord, asking him to bless them and to use us to his glory and to the benefit of people around us. We have just begun this time of transition at Christ the Vine. And as your interim pastor or as your vacancy pastor, I want to encourage you to lean into the Lord and ask him to help you use the gifts and talents and abilities that he has given you the best that you can. You're kind of in a place that might be referred to as out of your comfort zone. It's been my experience in my life, and maybe this is true for you too, that it is during those times of change and disruption and transition that we grow the most spiritually. Because we realize we can't do it our own. We have to rely on him, and he will show us the way. The last thing I want to say is relax. And I'm preaching to myself here too. Because I have a tendency, I blame it on my mom and dad. To want to do things myself. And I get carried away with that. And I forget to think about how it really all belongs to God. It's in his hands. So are you. So are we all. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.